From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The money coming into the state government from oil and other sources is forecast to be down this year and next. The Department of Revenue forecasts nearly $200 million less in state revenue this year than it did in the spring. The department released the forecast on Friday. Acting Revenue Commissioner Mike Barnhill says the forecast is consistent with oil prices over the past few years being lower than they were historically.
We still have a strained revenue situation, and that's going to continue into the fiscal 21 year. And so we will still have difficult discussions within the legislature about how to balance the budget.
The decrease is based in part on a drop in the price of oil. It was projected to average $66 per barrel in the spring. Now the forecast is less than $64 per barrel. Forecast for oil production is also down. Money coming into the state from sources other than oil is up. The forecast for state revenue is down for next year as well. That adds to the challenge facing Governor Mike Dunleavy and the legislature in writing a budget for next year. Dunleavy's budget proposal is due by December 15th. Oil forecasts were lowered for the rest of the next 10 years as well. That could make it harder to bring the state budget into balance in the long run. Transportation officials in Alaska have confirmed more than half of the state's ferries will be out of service amid a lack of funds to repair the vessels. The Juneau Empire reported Friday that the State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities announced this week that the Aurora will be out of service starting in January. The LeConte will be out of service as it undergoes repairs, which are estimated to cost $5.2 million. Department officials say a total of six ferries won't be working, affecting residents traveling for medical appointments and the transportation of goods, including groceries and machinery, mainly in Southeast. Officials have updated Alaska's list of missing people and are encouraging residents to look it over. The online registry lists 1,239 missing people in the state from 1960 through December 1st. The list's manager said Friday that it's the culmination of nearly 3 years of gathering and researching cases overseen by police agencies statewide. Much of the data had to be added from paper records. The list contains people who vanished under suspicious circumstances, as well as people missing in plane crashes or boating accidents. Juneau is getting a new director of public works and engineering soon by way of Homer. Former director Mike Vigue retired earlier this month. The city named Katie Kester as his replacement in an announcement today. Kester has been the city manager of Homer since 2015, overseeing daily and long-term operations of all of the city's departments. Vigue took over the public works department less than 2 years ago. His last day was Friday. Kester's start date has not yet been determined. Interior Alaska Regional Native Corporation Doyon has signed an oil and gas exploration agreement with Hillcorp. The deal will allow the Houston-based Hillcorp, a privately held company, to conduct aerial gravity and seismic surveys and potentially drill exploration wells on 1.6 million acres in the Yukon Flats region where Doyon owns mineral rights. The area has been the focus of oil and gas exploration, including work by Exxon and ARCO, dating back 50 years. Doyon CEO Aaron Schutt says while no wells have been drilled, more recent work points to the area's geologic potential.
We did a couple seismic programs at Stevens Village. We've done soil sampling. And the USGS also did some work in the early 2000s that at the time predicted there is likely to be oil and gas in the basin. So that's where the interest comes from, is the knowledge about the actual rocks.
The three exploration areas covered by the agreement with Hillcorp are surrounded by the Yukon Flats National Wildlife Refuge and are important to subsistence and for residents of the native communities of Fort Yukon, Birch Creek, Beaver, and Stevens Village. Schutt says the agreement, which includes the village corporations, provides input on how to balance exploration with subsistence.
The ability to talk to them about when and where their activities are, minimizing the amount of impact on the land as much as we can. Coordinating with the local village corporation and tribal groups is important as well, so we've structured that into our deals to have the ability to give that feedback.
Schutt says the agreement also has local hire and contracting provisions, but only initially provides the Native Corporation what he refers to as a modest amount of money.
We'd rather have these companies put their investment in the ground and then both reap the benefits if there's success. So really for us, the money will really come if they find oil and or gas.
No one from Hillcorp was at a Monday press conference in Fairbanks to announce the agreement, and company officials could not be reached for comment. In a Doyon press release, Hillcorp President and CEO David Wilkins cites past experience working with the company in Cook Inlet and on the North Slope and describes the new partnership as a, quote, opportunity for their shareholders and the state, end quote. Referring to Hillcorp's growing presence in Alaska, including its proposed acquisition of BP's Alaska operations, Shutt tried to answer why they're interested in Yukon Flats.
Obviously, they've made quite a commitment to Alaska. And part of a commitment to a long term is when you have a mature oil field, if you want to have continued production in an area, then you've got to do some exploration as well. So we're pretty excited that they chose our part of the world to do their exploration in.
The Yukon Flats exploration agreement follows years of work Doyon spent looking for oil and gas on state lease lands in the Nanana and Minto basins south of Fairbanks. That effort did not reveal a commercially viable reservoir, but Shutt says Doyon learned a lot about the exploration process. Aerial exploration work in the Yukon Flats could begin as early as next summer. Costs for the state and federal officials to fight Alaska's summer wildfires this year is estimated to have surpassed $300 million. Anchorage Daily News reported the final tally of damage may not be known for years because the estimate does not include costs incurred by private land and homeowners. Officials say the Alaska Division of Forestry recorded $225 million in 2019 firefighting expenses. The U.S. Forest Service reported $7 million in fire-related expenses, and the U.S. Department of the Interior reported $72 million. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources says the state could receive a large federal reimbursement. At a time when bears should typically be denning up for the winter, Sitka has actually seen an uptick in bear activity. Two dogs have been killed in the last month, prompting Fish and Game to adopt a more active strategy in dealing with the bears. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Bears should be slowing down and denning up, but at least one Sitka problem bear is still very much awake, causing more damage in the dead of winter than is typical. Sitka area management biologist Steve Bethune says a combination of factors are keeping bears up and active.
Unfortunately, there's still people leaving trash out, and you know it's hunting season right now, so I know people are leaving their deer hanging on their porches and those kind of things. And we have had really mild winters up until really, mild temperatures up until really recently.
Over the weekend, a bear in the Indian River subdivision area did some serious property damage and killed a dog, the second dog killed in the last month. On Saturday night, Bethune said a homeowner had left a processed deer securely hanging in a sturdy enclosed shed in his backyard. But that didn't stop the very determined bear.
It was actually a really good, secure location, and the bear tore through a wall of that shed. So it really made a tremendous effort to get into the shed, and it took the deer. And then at the same time, the homeowner's dog went missing.
Bethune says some neighbors discovered the bear had killed the dog and cached its remains in the woods. After assessing the area, Bethune and a wildlife trooper staked out the site until dark,
thinking the bear might come back to that site, and we were prepared at that point to kill the bear, and it never showed up.
So Bethune set up a trap next to the woods, a large steel tube with a doorway that closes when the bear pulls on the bait hanging at the opposite end. But he's also looking at other trap options because he says while this method works for black bears, brown bears are more hesitant to enter an enclosed space. Either way, he's monitoring the situation closely.
I was on call all night last night, and I have remote trail cameras monitoring it so I can see what time the bears are checking it out.
In general, Fish and Game has been hesitant to dispatch a bear. When bears are getting into trash that's left out by humans, they often say the animals are doing what bears do and remind people to be vigilant. But Bethune says this bear has done enough damage that more aggressive steps must be taken.
We want to kill this bear. It needs to be. We've had two dogs killed in the last couple of weeks, and that's just going over the line. And with all the problems we've had, it's a public safety issue now. So this bear, or a couple bears, if it turns out to be the case, are definitely slated to be removed. But it's really difficult. It's like finding a needle in a haystack at times.
He says there may actually be two bears in the Indian River area, an adult bear and a large cub. After a recent snow, residents reported two different sized tracks. Bethune says, as always, Sitkins should remain vigilant about the trash, process deer quickly, and call in any bear activity to fish and game. He stresses the importance of that last one because he's heard a lot of bear sign stories through the grapevine that have gone officially unreported. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Officials in the state say a hiker is lucky to be alive after he was buried during an avalanche and another hiker saw his feet in freedom. The Chugach National Forest Avalanche Information Center says the hiker was alone on Flattop Mountain when an avalanche completely buried him Saturday. The center says the hiker kicked his legs free, but the rest of his body was trapped. Another hiker passing by saw the victim's moving feet sticking out and was able to free him. Officials say the trapped hiker, who was not named, was cold and hypothermic, but conscious. And finally, SpaceX has made an early holiday delivery to the International Space Station. The Dragon capsule arrived at the orbiting outpost Sunday, delivering mighty mice, pest-killing worms, and a smart, empathetic robot. Station Commander Luca Parmitano used a large robot arm to capture the Dragon on Sunday. Launched Thursday from Florida, the capsule holds 3 tons of supplies, including extra brawny mice dubbed Mighty Mice for a muscle experiment. There are also 120,000 roundworms, or nematodes, of a beneficial variety that are part of an agricultural experiment. Plus, there's a large round robot head with artificial intelligence and Christmas presents. And a reminder, the National Weather Service has issued a dense fog advisory that's in effect until 1 a.m. Tuesday. That covers the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island. In particular, between Juneau International Airport to Lemon Creek, visibility will be quarter mile or less expected through tonight. Delays to aviation travel are already occurring. Driving may become hazardous. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, December 9th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.